So you heard Ruth say when you're saved, and you got that walk with Christ ahead of you. Excuse me. Get my throat clear. It all started when he died on the cross for us, for the justification of us. Now we're living, if you're a Christian, we're in that sanctification period where he sanctified us with his blood. Remember, we couldn't do it. He had to do it for us. And then, while we're here, we're waiting on the glorification, the end result. That's where we're headed to. That's not the sermon today, but kind of. Maybe into it. So I'm going to quit doing jokes. I didn't get no joke prepared today and stuff because a man told me one time that he don't play around. He quit the sixth grade because they had recess. He don't play. So we're going to move on and we're not going to tell no jokes. And yeah. See, I always got to try a different angle. Even on my sermons, I try to do different angles sometimes to see the reaction. And then it also tells me what to throw away and what to keep. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, what we're going to cover. I'm going to break them down. Y'all excuse my, I don't know what just happened to my voice. I was fine a couple minutes ago. The lost sheep. We're going to talk about the 99 sheep, the lost sheep. We're going to break it down what it, and stuff. It's a parable. We actually, if you come into Bible studies next door on the first month of Tuesday, we're breaking down. We're going through the parables. We haven't got to this one yet. So those of you that come and attend that, y'all can hear the sermon today on it. Then when we get to it, y'all going to get another version of it. But so the lost sheep, Luke chapter 15, 1 through 7. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not repent. We're going to look at this a little different angle today. I can have a little part where we're going to talk about, what about the 99 sheep that was left? He went off to, and so is it important? Or the 99 less important than the one lost? We're gonna try to talk about that today, but we'll break it down verse for verse, and we go there. And I want you to have the mindset when you get our mind, when you get our thinking caps on this morning. So we need to get the mindset of when you receive Christ and stuff. We had sermons on that, and we talked about it a bunch. And so we got to be Christ-like. We got to become more Christ-like, and how to do that is get in His Word, prayer, and we need to line up. We need to get as close as we can to line up with Christ, okay? So when we're talking about these 99 sheep and the one lost and what Jesus does, look at it into what's our purpose and what we're doing right now today. While we're waiting on that glorification, we don't sit and wait idle. And we discussed that before. We go out and we do stuff. We need to go look for the lost sheep. But we don't forget about the 99 either. So, and just give you a little insight and stuff. It's kind of, this is the church service with the people. And so most of y'all that I look around are Christians. And so, hang on, I get my, I get my speech right here in a minute. I'm thinking too far ahead. So we're going to look at the 99, and we're going to look at the lost sheep. Let me leave it at that. So the audience, so first of all, look at the audience that he's talking to in the scriptures. Tax collectors and sinners, they gathered to hear Jesus. Now we see this all the time here in recent years in our country and stuff, on people that come into a group, their sole purpose is to look for something negative, to stir up the crowd. They're planted, okay? So I want you to look at this. These tax collectors, I mean, not the tax collectors, the Pharisees that came around to listen to Jesus, they were looking for a way to trap him. So we got to remember what the purpose there was. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, they weren't there to support him, let me put it that way. The Pharisees and teachers of the law murmured that Jesus welcomes and eats with sinners. In your mind, is there anything wrong with that? What he was doing? Remember, we get the mindset of Christ. We're Christ-like. What do we need to be doing? And so we need to be out there. We need to be talking and eating and witnessing to these tax collectors and sinners. Not all tax collectors are sinners. I know you find it hard to believe. And stuff. But there are some good ones, you know, that love the Lord. But there's a lot of people out there that just don't stand out of being a bad person, but they're still lost. And we need to work on those people as well. Well, I just read some scripture that explains it better than I can. Obviously, I got some kind of problem going on right now. I can't talk for some reason. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Okay? Next week, we're going to get into, most likely, unless God changes, you all know he changes my mind a lot, what he wants. But we're going to jump in a reverse order, kind of Easter's coming up. We're going to talk about the resurrection, how important that is and all that. Next week, we're going to touch on what happened after the resurrection. We're going to touch on that some. We touched on it last week in Bible study. But we're going to talk about what we need to be doing and what Jesus did for us when he ascended back to heaven. He left us the Holy Spirit to guide us. And as Christians, with the Holy Spirit, we need to carry on what Jesus started. We need to reach out to these sick, the sinners. We need to go out there. The purpose, Jesus tells parables to explain his mission of the lost. The situation, a shepherd has 100 sheep but loses one. Now, I want you to think about something. There's no sheep farmers around here that I know of. You know, so, but there are cattle. If you get a calf or a cow gets through the fence, do you go after that cow? Do you put him back in the pasture? Okay. So the same mindset, I want you to get the same mindset. It don't mean you don't care for the ones that are in the pasture, but you don't have to deal with them at that moment, right? You have to deal with the ones that's lost that go out. And just like as a pastor, I put it on my side now, as a pastor with the flock and stuff, if you're in here and you're a Christian, you're not the one out there that we need to go witness to and stuff. But when you have issues and problems come along, because you're not exempt from issues or problems when you're a Christian, you know that. I hope you know that. You're going to have, you know, life is going to throw some stumbling blocks at you. And we got to deal with that. And we got to support each other. And we got to get in it. We got to work in this together. We're on the same team. The church is on the same team. And I say, you know, remember what the church is. I'm looking at the church. Y'all, it's a living deal. It's not a building. And so we need to help each other along as we do the mission that God has us to do, if that makes sense. The shepherd takes the initiative because the sheep can't save itself. if you never hear the word of God or about Jesus, how are you going to know that you need to make a choice? And God chose us as his vessel to go out there and spread his word. So it's our duty to go do that. And then give them the opportunity to hear his word and make their decision on what they're going to do. It's not our decision. It's not up to us to make their decision for them. It's our duty that God called us to do to spread his seed, spread his word. And I think it might have been Brother Charlie, somebody in the past has said, everybody deserves the opportunity to hear his word. And I say that word deserve, unlikely. If you know, it's none of us, because the only reason we deserve a chance is because Jesus did it for us. Okay, so let's get that straight. No, but we don't deserve anything that God has done for us, this bottom line. We deserve it because of through him, his love for us. And the shepherd, he leaves the 99 in the open country to go after the lost one till it's found. As his disciples, we too need to take the initiative and reach the lost. Don't wait till it comes to you. Be proactive. Go out there. Go do it. You know, we had that, at some point we had some lesson on what that looks like. You know, we automatically want to just think about the missionaries that go overseas and all that, which is important. But it's all, we can work all day long right here in our backyard and never reach everybody. So we need to do what God calls us to do. And what did he do when he found the sheep? He carries it on his shoulders. Now, there's a difference if you go out and you find that dog. I'm using the animals because we're talking about sheep here, but just converted. You find a dog that ran away and you beat him half to death before you get him back home. That's not what Jesus does. That's not what we're supposed to do. That's not the love that God expresses to us, his love for us. And so notice that this, he got the sheep, he carried him back. He didn't discipline him. He carried him back. Because it's a lot, just like a lost person. Don't be mad at the person because they hadn't accepted Christ the way you think they should, or living the way they should, you think they should be living. It don't matter what you think. What matters is they get that relationship going with God and you plant that seed. And then there's a celebration. The shepherd calls friends and neighbors to rejoice because the lost sheep is found. And y'all do that when we get a new person in Christ, when we do baptism. I heard y'all before. Y'all were excited about it. We got one more person in the family of God. That should be something we are proud of, happy for that person. And remember, we got to continue to work with those people. Don't leave them alone. It's a joy in heaven. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, face value, you read that and you're like, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not lost. So why don't I deserve some of this rejoicing? The day you accepted Christ, you had it. You had it rejoicing in heaven. And then fast forward, now you're in the family of God. You receive a blessing every day. Every day from God. Every day you wake up, you got a new day ahead of you. God is always is there for you. God's heart for the individual. God values each person individually and desires none to perish. He has the same love for you and I that he does it for anybody else out there that's lost. The same love. It's hard for us to grasp that because there's some people we don't care for. or don't like. But if you're lost or you're saved, God has that same love for each and every one of us. Jesus is a good shepherd who seeks the lost and brings them back safely. That's what the parable is referring to. And then that's why I mentioned earlier about his ascension, and that carries and stands on to us as his disciples. So we got a divine initiative. God actively searches for the lost. How does he do that now? Through us. God is still using us today to do that. And we already said salvation causes celebration in heaven. No individual is insignificant. None. Even politicians. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. So let me tell you what the lost sheep, what it does not mean. And that gives us a little better insight on what it really does mean. Let that play of words. It's not about bad people. The lost sheep does not represent a sinner who is evil necessarily, but rather one who is senseless, vulnerable, and is in need of rescue. There's a ton of people out there today that does not know they need a Savior. They don't know it. Now, we automatically think of a sinner as an evil, bad person that does bad things. No. Yeah, I mean, yes, that's part of it. But there's a lot out there that don't know they need a Savior. And that's where we come in. And I told you we can talk about the 99 just a little bit. It's not an abandonment of the 99. They're not abandoned. Leaving the 99 does not mean God disregards the faithful. The 99 are safe. And the shepherd's focus on the one highlights the immense value placed on every individual. We're not forgotten. God still protects us. God still loves us. God still takes care of us. Everybody in here, and so just this morning, you ought to have something to praise God for. I know you do because you're looking at me. He gave you another day. And I say that a lot, but it's true. We take that for granted. When you go to bed, do you just assume you're going to wake up every morning? We do. But we got to realize that's not guaranteed. Did you check with God before you come to church today what else he wants you to do today? That's part of that relationship, that communication, what we need to be working on. And this is not a story about self-rescue. The sheep does not find its own way back. The shepherd goes out, finds it, carries it back, emphasizing that salvation is a result of God's action, not the sheep's effort. You cannot work yourself to heaven, work your way to heaven. Neither can the lost. Let me put it this way. How's that lost sheep going to know to come back if he don't know he's lost? That's why you had to be proactive and go get them. They don't know. If you don't know, what's that? I think Tom Lowe says it. Well, you don't know what you don't know because you don't know what you don't know. Something like that. You don't know what you're looking for. You don't know what you need to come back to unless you run across somebody that gives it to you. The parable does not imply that those who have left on purpose should be forced back, but rather the community should be ready to welcome back those who are in distress. Even if you have a person that intentionally falls away from his faith, don't give up on them. Bare minimum, pray for them still. And it's not a sentimental story either. The parable is not just a gentle picture, but a challenging, now here's where it applies to us some, a challenging, costly story about a shepherd facing danger to rescue a filthy, helpless, and broken creature. That's some harsh words talking about a sheep. That's what they are. But that's what we are too. Only through the blood of Christ are we cleaned up. That's the only thing. That's the only thing that washes us up and cleans us up. So my question to you is, something to ponder on and think about is, what is it costing you? Is it costing you anything to go out and reach these people, to witness? Bare minimum is going to cost you a little bit of time. May cost you a little bit of money, some gas money. I had Charlie pick me up the other day, so it cost him gas money, not me. But I just play. Hang on, man, let me get my stuff together here. The parable highlights God's, and by extension, the church, us, responsibility to actively seek out those who have wandered away or feel they don't belong. It emphasizes joy in the repentance and the immense value of the individual. That's a lot of words just to say. It's our responsibility. It's a command. It's not if you feel like it. It's not if you want to. It's an obligation that we, as Christians, we go out and do what His on the ones that wander away or that need Christ. And for the 99 sheep and for the one lost, either one, this is God's promises. The saved and the ones not, the ones are saved, the 99 sheep. God's promise to save include eternal life. First of all, you got eternal life, divine protection, forgiveness of sins, which is the main one, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. The presence of the Holy Spirit. We talked about last week in Bible study, talking about the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come in. There was no doubt what they witnessed and what happened to them when it came in. And I got asked ever since then, by several people, it is always going to be that way. And so, first of all, never limit to God what He can do or how He can reach people or how He can touch you. But that little feeling that you get sometimes that I shouldn't be doing this, I need to do something else, or I need to go do this to this person. You get a thought in your head. You ever have scripture just randomly pop up in your head and then you go look at it and then you read? Just random, I call it loosely random things. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. If you're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit, and so you listen to it. It might not slap you in the face every time, but it's there. And also, it works. It's a two-way street, too. You got to tap in, too. You got to stay connected. You have to stay connected to Christ. So we got eternal life and security. Whoever believes in Jesus will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Jesus promises never cast out those who come to Him and keep them secure. That's John chapter 10. Read in John chapter 10. When God gets a hold of you, he has you. If there's a disconnect, guess where it's at? Ourselves. God don't change. He's always eternal, always loving. God promises to cleanse believers from all unrighteousness, removing sins, and offering complete pardon. Now, if you read it as removing sin, if you remove something, what's that mean?
Gone.
It's out of here. It's gone. Divine presence and peace. God's promises to be with believers, offering strength and weakness and comfort and trouble. That's Isaiah 41. He promises to keep those whose minds are steadfast and perfect peace. I love the opportunity when I get to say my two favorite words, daily and saturated. This is a daily walk with God process. And you got to stay saturated in his word, his love. This is not just a once a week event, or however you want to look at it. It's a daily walk. It's daily. If you want to experience this stuff we're talking about, and you want to stay in that group of 99, you got to have a daily walk with Christ. That's not when you're in trouble. All the time. God promises to supply all needs according to his riches and glory. That's Philippians. I know I'm throwing out scripture there. You don't have to look them up. I'll just let you know where they're coming from. And provide strength through the weary. That's Isaiah. Now, I don't think a lot of people realize this. When you accept Christ, I'll throw you some scripture for this. There's an adoption and an inheritance involved. You notice, if you read in the Bible, it says brothers and sisters in Christ. It don't say aunts and uncles and all that stuff. When you get in the family of God, you're brothers and sisters. Let me break it down for you. If you're a male, you're a brother. If you're a female, you're a sister. Okay? And we're all in the same family. The same family. Believers are given the right to become children of God, John 1:12, and are considered heirs to a future and hope. And that's Jeremiah and Romans. And God also promises to answer when his children call on him and to provide help in times of need. Now, look, don't come to me and say, well, sometimes he don't answer my prayer. We had that sermon last week. We discussed all that. So I know you remember that. So just remember what I said last week. Y'all can laugh because I know a lot of people don't. Or you wouldn't hear. Here's the key to the whole stuff. These promises, all these promises we talked about that God provides and what we need to be doing and stuff are fulfilled through Jesus Christ, who acts as the guarantee of a new covenant for those who believe. It all starts and ends with Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, every bit of it. There'd be no need for a preacher or nothing else if we didn't have Jesus down on the cross for us. There'd be nothing we could do to avoid that gap between us and God. But Jesus did it for us. That's how much he loves us. And that's how much he loves that person that goes astray. He'll go out and get them. It might be through somebody. And most time it is. That's where we come in. And we got that divine protection that you've got to continually stay in contact with him. However that looks like for you. So, that's what we're going to do. We're going to stand. I'm going to close in prayer. As the musicians come, we're going to play a song of invitation. So after I pray, I'm going to step down here. If you want to be a part of the family of God, if you haven't accepted Christ yet, now's your opportunity. And that opportunity, you can come up, talk to me if you need to. You can get here and pray, or you can do it right where you're standing. And so God is everywhere all the time, the Holy Spirit that we was talking about earlier. And do not miss your opportunity to become a family of God and have these promises and protection that he provides for us. And then the work begins. And Christians, if you need to renew yourself, get back on track, go out and do these things we talked about, now's the time to do it, and you can do it right where you're standing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house to hear your words, Lord, and just let us use them, guide us, direct us the way you want us to go. Let decisions be made that need to be made today, Lord, and it's all in your will. Just thank you again for the opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.